We're going to talk about middle school. Now, this talk I've actually done before, but I feel like this week in general for me, it really hit home. So when I talk about this, I'm coming from a place of in the middle of it. I am in the middle of it. I have a 14-year-old. I have a, he's 12. So he's right there in the middle school age. And so a lot of the stuff that I'm sharing with you today is not just for middle school, it's adolescence, just in general. I taught middle school for 10 years. And the best thing about teaching middle school for me was all the crazy stories I got to bring home and share with people. I mean, mind you, of course, some are confidential, but I mean, the stories, the ups and the downs and the happy and the sad and the meltdowns over lots of things. So I always had fun little stories to share, and they keep you on your feet. They make you laugh because I think the only way to get through these years is to laugh with them and be silly with them. So I will talk more about that too. A lot of them make choices based on how they're feeling, their emotions. You guys, have you seen Inside Out 2 yet? Okay, it's phenomenal. It's amazing. So I highly recommend it, and it's great. So one thing I want to say, because these are very difficult years, how many of you guys have 10-year-olds? 11. Okay, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So we're right in the middle school, and it's because I think this applies to 16-year-olds too. It's their brain. Their brains actually, especially for boys, will not actually fully develop until they're 25. And we're gonna have to deal with that as parents. So then we're gonna talk about how we can make it through all of that. So one thing I like to always remember is that God doesn't make mistakes with our middle schoolers. He doesn't make mistakes. Well, he doesn't make mistakes with his design, that he designed them to go through these ups and downs, emotions, the brain he created. And so I always, tongue in cheek, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And repeating this in those hard moments that are difficult is very, very challenging. So I always like to keep that. And it's kind of like, what do they call it? Like my go-to verse or my life verse with my middle schooler or my adolescents. So, 4 points in this talk that I'm gonna go over. So, point number one is we're gonna look at the middle school brain or the adolescent's brain. Second, we are gonna talk about that social and emotional development of the preteen teen. We are going to talk about their self-awareness, and we are going to have some, I'm going to give you guys some practical tips for you to help you thrive and survive these crazy years. Now, I have a resource for you. It's on the back chair right there. I don't know if everybody got one. If you haven't, if you guys don't mind just kind of sharing, if you guys want one. This has notes on it, so pretty much everything that I share with you today is gonna be written on this form, and I love giving you guys resources to take home because you're probably overwhelmed today. Do you guys have one? Okay, so we're gonna start off with the synapse. And have you guys heard of that word synapse before? To put it frankly, it's just a junction between two of the nerve cells. And it's really important to know what that is because how many of you have gardened before? Nobody's gardened. Okay, good. So show those hands. You guys have gardened before. What happens when the tree or the plant, there's too many branches? What do you want to do? Prune them, right? So what's going to happen with our lovely middle school brain is they're going to go through synaptic pruning. And pruning is taking away the dead or unused branches so that the remaining and stronger branches can flourish. So that means that, and first of all, it means that the kids get a second chance, but it also means that, let's say you lived in Germany and they spoke German and you spoke German around them when they're three. Well, then you move to America, German is non-existent in your household, they're just gonna not use German anymore. They're gonna forget about it because you don't use it, they lose it. So that's gonna happen. Here's an example. So you've got a bunch of synapses, they don't use those, they're gone. And now the ones that are remaining are actually going to be cemented in their brain and they're going to be stronger. So during these years, it's really important to, it's scary when you think about it, but it's really important that the synapses or the connections, those are getting cemented in a positive way. It's your second chance with them. Okay, so just as a review, a synaptic pruning, you use it or lose it. Connections that aren't used are cut away. Now this is interesting, 40% of the synapses are eliminated during adolescence. There's something called plasticity. Have you heard of that word before? Okay, so plasticity just basically means that the brain is easily moldable right now. And that's why I always say you have a second chance to work with them. I know a lot of parents have said, oh, I didn't do this when they were 5 years old. I've ruined them for life. That's not true. By the way, our brains are always changing anyway. It just is easily changeable, the plasticity, during these years. So keep that in mind. I don't mean to scare you, I promise. So then the next thing is myelination. And this is going to be the formation of myelin around each of the axons of each neuron. So if you look at this picture, this is the neuron, and the myelination is right here. So as a result, that brain processing speed is going to increase up to 100 times faster. So now you've got a child whose brain is functioning, and all of a sudden everything speeds up. How do you think they feel? Overwhelmed, right? And not only that, is you're getting pumped full of hormones at the same time. So put yourself in their shoes, especially when they're having some meltdowns or their brain is like scrambled egg. It seems like their brains are like scrambled egg. But it's just, they don't know how to handle it. It's hard, it's overwhelming. So there's also this idea of gray matter versus white matter. And so with white matter, that's when the myelination is forming. And actually you can see the color change. And then of course with gray matter, that's when there's no myelination. And that would be like the babies. And older people will get more gray matter when they're losing the white matter. So you may hear that a lot. Okay. Then we have the prefrontal cortex, which is so fascinating. All right, so normally, typical brain development for a child is it starts in the back of the head and it's gonna slowly move towards the front. So in the back, you're gonna have things like visual processing, language, touch, balance, coordination. But then in the prefrontal cortex, which is right up here, that's gonna have your regulation of emotions, problem solving, regulating of responses, planning. It regulates your body, empathy, reason, focus, morality. Then you've heard of executive functioning, communication, goal setting, self-control, and decision making. And all the while, by the way, for boys, this is gonna take till the age of 25 to fully develop, hopefully. I say that because, you know, with all of our technology, it's messing with our prefrontal cortex, but that's a whole nother discussion. This right here is probably why they act the way they act sometimes. So self-control, there is no regulation of self-control. It's just, they're impulsive with what they do. So then you have the problem of, no, it's not a problem. Is what happens. The limbic system actually starts to take over, specifically the amygdala. Okay, so a little bit, I'm gonna backtrack just a little bit when I was talking about the prefrontal cortex and impulse control. You've got things like touching doorknobs. You've got things like stealing food off of siblings' plates. I know there was like one instance, my son, we were grading his work and all these things, and he picked up the hole puncher and the bottom, he undid the bottom. I mean, we're just having a regular conversation and the kid like tries to dump it in his mouth like pixie sticks. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, what? He didn't even know he was doing it because he was reacting out of habit. So they're not properly thinking about their actions. And so of course, because the prefrontal cortex is underdeveloped, now the limbic system is going to take over, specifically the amygdala. All right, so here's a picture of the limbic system. and the amygdala is in there. And the amygdala is very interesting because it's going to trigger your emotional responses. That's your fear, anger, sadness, anxiety. It's storing and forming memories associated with your emotions. So now this is interesting because the hippocampus is also really close, and that's the one that is involved in music memories, experiences, and context. And so you've got all this on overdrive. Do you remember how music made an impact on you when you were in adolescence? Because I know I was thinking about this. I don't have playlists on my Spotify like my kids do right now. I learned this morning how to use it, by the way. Fun fact. In the car on the way here, he made me a Spotify list. But they have it. They know how to work these things because there's this desire for music. But if I hear music from when I was a kid, there's these memories that come back in context. Like, I was trying to think of an example. Well, first of all, you know the lyrics to the songs. Like, I can bust out Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby, no problem. I'm not going to do that for you right now, but I have it on YouTube. One of the examples that came to mind was, I don't know if you, I'm going to date myself. Tiffany, do you remember her? Thank you. Okay, we're all embarrassing ourselves. There was a song, it was a Beatles remake. I Saw You Standing There. Okay, that song, whenever I hear it or even think of the title, like as I'm talking about it now, I have this image of us at the state fairgrounds, and it's like visually seeing this one specific ride and my friend vomiting on it. So I have this like memory connection and this song, and it's completely forever ingrained in my mind. I don't get that anymore as an adult. That's also a key for us, is to be very careful with what we let our kids listen to, because we know it's going to be cemented in their brains and they're going to remember it and connect with it for probably a really long time. Keep that in mind. So there is desires, satisfaction, and gratification immediately. We want that, and they want that immediately. They're not thinking about other people. They're not thinking about whether or not they get in trouble sometimes. They just do it. It's this impulse control, because that's what's taken away from them, or they're not fully developed in that area because of the prefrontal cortex. And because of the plasticity of the brain, the myelination, and amygdala's function and location, of course, the hippocampus, music and memories are imprinted. Our preteens and teens are experiencing emotions in a very intense way because their prefrontal cortex is not developed. They cannot control these emotions and responses. Okay, so let's talk about the hormones, because we always think hormones. Huh? Yeah, exactly. Hormones. We always think hormones when we think of preteens. And it's there, and there's a lot of them. In fact, why is our insurance car insurance so expensive for 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds? Because they know that they are very impulsive, and of course it's going to be high and expensive. Military enrollment. Now, I'm not 100% sure of this, but from what I heard is that they allow younger kids, like 20s, 19, will be able to enroll in the military at a young age.
They started at 17.
17? Okay. And part of the reason I heard was, I haven't found this documented, but I heard they are more impulsive and they're more willing to just step out in the front lines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they know that, and our hormones, what can I say? So there's estrogen and testosterone. It increases the production of white matter. That's cool, because we want that white matter, the myelination, as well as specific physical changes. Dopamine, that's the happy neurotransmitter, or that's chemical. Neurotransmitter is a fancy word for a chemical. It's released more intense during this age. And then we have, so with the dopamine, the happy neurotransmitter, it releases when we feel pleasure, excitement, and satisfaction. This can be anything from eating food, video games, and even driving fast, etc. And it can, and there's so much with dopamine, especially now with social media, how it's just, it's like a dopamine overload and a dopamine fix. It's affecting adults, but it's really bad for our adolescents. It's hard. One of my kids, they go to a counselor actually, and he said no more than 3 hours a day, which actually that's kind of a lot because it's bad for them. It can mess with them. So the release of dopamine causes one to seek out and search. It makes you curious and want to take more risk than you normally would take. So, yeah. So with all that being said, our kids, their brains are scrambled eggs, right? It is. And so it's a lot, and you guys have all that information in the notes. But let's move on to some social and emotional challenges. So this can happen when a child doesn't receive a part in a musical that they want to be in and they have a complete meltdown, which I think adults would have a meltdown over that too, but they melt down because they didn't get a part. Not allowed, this one has actually happened, is that they weren't allowed to go into a store barefoot. They had to put their shoes on and there was a meltdown over that. So all those different things is their emotional challenges. Now, have anybody ever heard of that term, ticket to ride? No. That was a very common phrase when I was a middle school teacher. And it basically means when that adolescent gets all worked up, you don't want to jump right into their worked upness and take that train to wherever they're leading because they're in charge of the train. So when their emotions are high. So I'm going to break this up into when their emotions are high, some tools that you can use to help calm them down, and also what to do after their meltdown finishes up. So when their emotions are high, okay, for you, this is like really hard to do, and I have experienced that this week a lot. And for the fathers in the family, like, you are going to have to be there when some of these things happen. Big time. So the first thing you want to do is be strong. You have to. Don't argue with them in the moment. Don't yell at them. This is so hard. Wait for their emotions to calm down. They cannot, in this moment, because of the release of hormones and dopamine and all the things, they cannot think rationally, so don't even try to be rational with them. Just listen and don't be triggered. Actually, that defines the ticket to ride. Don't take the ticket to ride. Don't be triggered, because they're going to see that you're stable, and they're going to, because they're hurt, they want you to be hurt, so they're going to do everything to hurt you. And it's also a way that they're trying to manipulate you to get, you know, what you want or what they want. So don't be triggered. Don't take the ticket to ride. And so I put a verse in here, Colossians 3:21, that says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. So don't take that ticket to ride. Stay strong, focused, and logical. So what can we actually do? Tools during their meltdown? Well, these are some of the ones that worked for me, and there's definitely a longer list, and if you guys have any ideas, you're welcome to share. But deep hugs, calming touch, or no touch. So I do have children that have ADHD, and I have one with Down syndrome, SPD. Sometimes when you touch them, they get more upset. But then you have the opposite effect. Some kids need a deep squeeze to help calm them down, and then others just need you to gently pat them. So you kind of have to gauge your kid. Mine, I had one that will not let me touch him, and then I have one that is the deep, deep hug. Even now that he's 14, that helps ground him. So that's, just figure that out if that works. Try it out. If it doesn't, you know. Soft words. I'm here for you. Are you okay? A lot of listening, like listen more than talk when they're having those meltdowns. Punching bag, leave the room. Okay, so we have a punching bag in the garage, and they're welcome to go outside and punch the bag as much as they want. It also helps with sensory processing. It helps them get their anger out and helps them calm down. Sometimes just leaving the room in general, or I have one of my kids will go outside and he will self-talk him down. He will self-talk to himself down. Leave the situation. Counting and breathing exercises, everybody knows about this one. We've all tried it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I've also heard there's one technique that's not listed up here where it says, name five things that you see, five things that you hear, and five things, I don't know, you go through all the senses, like five things that you smell, five things that you can touch, and that's supposed to help calm them down. Physical exercise, so doing, you know, that's the punching bag again, right? Or doing push-ups. I don't know if anybody has ever tried to make their kid do push-up when they're having a meltdown. Or just running around. Or the trampoline. Have them go outside and do the trampoline. Like, just go outside and do the trampoline right now. So, and then I put self-talk, and that was that one also when they're older, self-talking to themselves. So now, when they calm down, all right, this is when it's time for you to do more talking, like asking them, well, you're asking them questions and they're responding. So you're still doing less talking, but you're doing more talking than you did before. You're gonna ask them questions and you're gonna listen to them. So why did you do what you did? And then have them explain it back, retelling the story. It actually, the left and right hemisphere of the brain are going to start crossing. It's actually really, really good for them to retell the situation in their own words. And sometimes kids will get creative and kind of blow it out of proportion and change the story. Or even you might find that the way that they interpreted a situation is completely different than the way it happened. And this is your chance to just ask questions. Is this logical? Could you have done things differently? Or is that really what happened? Just try to get some kind of straight story with them. Lots of questions. Allow them to express their feelings, then discover together what is true. And back to the feelings thing, it's really important to recognize their feelings. I know that's hard. You must be really upset, but don't, you know, there's a tendency that we want to sound cheesy. I know you're sad. Don't try to make it not cheesy, because they'll pick up on the cheese. So that's really hard. I know you're really upset. I noticed when I started doing that with my son, his eyes just lit up. He was like, "You get it, Mom," even though I didn't, because I don't know what it's like to be a middle school boy. But his eyes lit up because now he had permission to tell me more about how he felt. And I was able to listen. I'm gonna tell you what, for some reason, okay, when they're little, this is just my experience, but when they're little, they take up a lot of your time with their physical needs. But once they hit adolescence and preteen and all that, it's all about the words and the emotions and the feelings and the intellectual stuff. So you still spend the same amount of time, it's just different. They need you. So perception is not reality, even though it feels like it is. We want to always gently correct, redirect, give them advice, and yes, you do need to punish when severe. You have to, or they're not going to learn. I like to encourage self-discipline too, definitely, before the problem happens. So that's a big topic. Okay, next time you're tempted to do this, can you stop yourself? Self-control. Stay focused. And this is actually, this whole thing is a process called connect and redirect. And that's actually a thing. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit about self-awareness. And so this is huge for boys and girls. So girls are noticing their hair. They're talking about their weight. They're comparing themselves with others. They're worried about their makeup. The boys are looking at their sports ability. You know, Johnny runs faster than me. Their growth, such and such is taller. Boys, it becomes like a competition, right? Their voice changes. Let me talk about how boys don't grow as fast as girls. So the girls are taller than the boys. And if that doesn't mess with their self-esteem, it does. Vocal changes. That's a big one because boys will get the squeaky voice sometimes, not all of them, and they're insecure about it. And they also have finding their identity. And this has a lot to do with their likes and dislikes. They may have always, or here's one. Here's a great example. So you like a certain type of food. You think it's amazing. I don't know, broccoli. I like broccoli, but that's a really bad example. I like lasagna. Let's say lasagna. Let's use one that is likable, okay? Lasagna. You love lasagna. And maybe your kid likes it, but all of a sudden he's developing, maybe I don't like it so much. And he's like, I don't like it. And you're like, what do you mean you don't like lasagna? You always like the, nope, I don't like it, Mom. And now all of a sudden, their likes and dislikes are separated from you. And a lot of it has to do with their independence. And it just doesn't apply to food. It applies to all different things, whether it's a TV show, whether it's, you know, sports, stuff like that. So identity, they're trying to discover their own identity separate from you. Now there's also the cultural identity. Of course, friends are way more important than you right now, right? I promise this is not a spoiler to Inside Out 2, but there's the friendship island is like huge, and then the family island is really small. I don't know, did you guys see that? But it's real. And that's what's happening. Friends are way more important, and they're finding their identity with who they're friends with sometimes, and the culture of their friendship. And that's why I really think during adolescence and high school, it is really important that they're homeschooling, because you still have control of who they're around and, you know, where they're getting ideas from, because it's very influential. And all of this is starting to define who they are. So, let's see. Okay, I love this picture. Let me talk about it in a second. So they still need direction from you. You need to establish what is right and what is wrong, and you still need to be firm. You need to give them boundaries. Don't think just because, I mean, they're gonna push so hard against those boundaries, and you have to keep them up, because they're really, really gonna be testing you. They want to see if you really stand for those boundaries. Are you gonna waver? Do you really believe what you say? And they're gonna fight you. It's gonna happen, and it's a good thing. You want them to launch, right? You want them to launch into independence world. You don't wanna crush them. The fighting is a good thing, but you need to, you know, it's hard, you have to handle it day by day. Most kids desire those boundaries and know what they need, and they will never admit it until they're like your age, right? Then they'll say, Mom, I really appreciated this. They will, and they'll come back and say that. So I laugh at this picture, because I feel like this is a typical picture of a mom with a middle school son, because I'm really happy to hang out with him, and he's like, you can kind of see it in his face, right? And I just love that picture. It's like the perfect picture. It's like, nope. And so he was actually 13 there. So their brains are being hardwired at this time, and we need to remember that. And everything is being concreted in. All right, social development. So like I said, with friendship island is bigger than family island. Awareness, they become aware of the other people around them, and they're going to form different opinions on things, so that other than what you have, test to see if you're serious about those boundaries. Oh yeah, they and that, it does not just apply to everyday little things, but it applies to your faith too, and your morals. They do not fully recognize how their words and actions can affect others and themselves. So I gave some simple examples, but if you guys are involved with any co-ops or anything, you'll understand that kids will just randomly say things to other kids, not thinking about what the impact makes. Or I actually had one kid say, I'm just experimenting to see what the other person's gonna do when I do this. Like, it's an experiment. I think it is kind of for a lot of them, as they're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work and play around with it. But little things like, you know, you go to the beach and they start throwing sand around and it's getting all over the person next to you because they're not thinking about the other person. They might even not realize they're throwing sand, right? Volume of their voice, they might not realize that they're loud inside a library. I mean, who goes to library anymore? Probably homeschoolers do, but, or like in church or something like that, where you're supposed to be soft, well, they're talking really loud. Or if they're in a room next to a room that needs to be quiet, they're talking at the top of their voice. So they're not really thinking about their actions, and we have to gently remind them, you know, have you thought about the fact that there's somebody next door? So, all right, so now what? All right, couple of little things that you can do besides dealing with the meltdowns or the fights and such, things that you could do every single day to help you. And like I said, not all of these are going to work for you, but you might find one. What was it, Mr. D? Did you guys see Mr. D this morning when he was talking? Find a golden nugget and go with it, right? So not all of these are going to work for you, but modeling is huge. it's modeling for you, but also being around other people, that other kids that are well-behaved kids. You know, you want to watch who they hang out with because they'll model them. But you want to show them how to become patient and loving and stable. And that actually will come in when you guys get in those fights, or when they think, or when they're fighting you. You know what I'm talking about. You want to become patient and stable because they're watching you, and they're watching to see how you react in difficult situations, because eventually they're going to start modeling you. Demonstrate how to have self-control when life gets crazy. They're watching you when, you know, let's say the homeowners association sent you a really nasty letter. How are you going to respond to that? They're watching to see, because, you know, for us, the homeowners association sending us a really nasty letter is huge because there's money involved. But for them, their best friend not calling them that day is about the same intensity as the homeowners for us. And so they're watching you and comparing you. You have had time to get stable. So they're watching you. They know you've had time to get stable, and they're modeling you, and they will never, ever admit it. You've gone through the adolescent years, and you survived. Now it's time for you to show them how it's done. Okay, it's not perfect, and nobody expects you to be perfect. And so I always like to say, if it doesn't go right and you mess up, which we all do, because I've messed up a lot this week, it's okay to be humble with them, admit that you were wrong, because that's also modeling humility to them. So, yes. Listening. Take the time to learn what they love, even if you're not interested in it. So there's some examples, video game sports. I hate video games. A lot. Like, I don't like playing them. And my son has been begging me to sit down on the server and play Minecraft. To me, that is like torture. Oh, I hate it. It intimidates me. It scares me. It's overwhelming. But I have promised him we will do it in the near future, because I know that I need to do it. I know that I need to look at what he loves. Because I share with him what I love all the time. Why can't I now respect him and show him that I love, or I'm willing to listen to him share with me the things that are important to him? And that could be friends and situations. Another thing that this week specifically that came up is one of his friends. He was upset about his friend, and he wanted to pray for his friend. So we prayed for his friend, and that shows that you care about his relationships with others. And what's important to them too. So listen to them when they're struggling, but also when they're happy and excited about things. So understand, repeat back to them the feelings they express. I talked about that a little earlier. Correct them with gentleness, give them positive reinforcement. They're already insecure, and they do put themselves down. Why not point out the good parts about them? We need to look for those good things and point them out so they know they're worthy of respect. So show them empathy and show them respect. And sometimes that's hard to do, but sometimes it's really easy to do too, because we do love them. And I don't think there's anybody else in the world that loves them more than you guys do. So a student will be like his teacher. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher, and you are their teacher, and you know this. So this is a lot of stuff that I gave you guys today, and you've got the packet if you want to review any of it. This is how you can keep in touch with me. This is my YouTube channel. So on one of the cards, the one with the sunflowers, if you scan the QR code, there's like a little, it looks like a thumbnail thing that you can go to my YouTube channel, my email. There's a bunch of options.